Don't doubt it, birth. Birth is not as difficult as you may think. Has anybody told you that before? And anyway, how long have women been having babies? I have to tell you, everything about a woman's body is made to give birth. Welcome to Birth Talk, podcast number 6 for May 2008. I'm your host, Danielle Ambe, certified childbirth educator and certified doula. On today's show, we have a guest, Molly Rimmer, birth activist, writer, and blogger. We'll be chatting with her about how empowering birth can be. I like to start by reminding you to keep in touch. You can email us at birthtalk@gmail.com. So again, I've been busy, but very well. I'm learning to scale back and focus on the things I love doing and following my bliss. And awesome things are coming from that, mostly just a sense of my own peace. And I wish you peace in return, or I hope that you're feeling peace and balancing and finding balance in your life. And that's a lesson that I'm learning. And we could take a whole podcast talking about balance, because of course, as women and mothers, we try to do so much, and it's hard to say no, but I'm learning to say no. I am very much renewed by your emails. Please keep emailing me, and you can also call me 916-525-7596 and just leave me a little hello. But your emails are reaffirming why I do this podcast. And I did get one email that had a different tone. I think the podcast may have been misunderstood. And so if you are just new to these podcasts, and I'm going to, again, be trying to get them out a little bit more often. But this podcast, Birth Talk, is for women who want to be affirmed. It's for women who are not sure about natural childbirth. It's for women who do not have enough information about their birth options, about their birth choices. It's for women who are fearful or who have had past traumatic birth experiences, or who've had to mourn their birth experiences. We know that where I am at, I'm in Sacramento, I'm in the United States of America, birth is mostly done in hospitals. And there's a hospital culture is a little bit different from, you know, maybe if you were going to have a home birth. There's no right way and there is no wrong way to give birth. But certainly I believe that women should have freedom to choose how they want to give birth. And by freedom, I mean that women should be able to walk in labor, eat in labor. They should have the freedom to say, no, I do not want my labor to be induced or speeded up, or I do not want my waters broken, or I want to have a water birth. And I just want to pause and stop a moment on water birth. And if you are in the United States or even wherever you are, is water birth a possibility for you and your community? I can give you the research later. I want you to do your own research. But when women have access to water, women who are able to use it even for part of their labor, it's a coping tool. And I'm going to tell you, water is a lot costs a lot less money as a birthing tool than a narcotic, than Stadol or than Nubain. And I'm going to get riled up right here. My main reason for doing this podcast is because I'm just tired of all these horror stories. Yes, birth is challenging, but it is doable. And most women, once they understand that, once they take my childbirth class, they feel so much better. So I just know that we are scaring women way too much, and we're not giving them the proper tools, the non-invasive tools, the tools that cost less money. And that could really help them to have an empowering experience. And that not only outrages me and angers me, but it really makes me sad. I am training new childbirth educators. I was training my coworker today, Heather, and we had a great discussion of how, since she's taken my training classes, that she feels so sad because she knows now that she could have done it. Her births, she didn't need Pitocin, and she had three hospital births, but now she believes that she could have even had a home birth, or she could have just made different choices. And this I get a lot, that once women get information, they not only, and once they get training, so not just information, but we learn a lot of techniques, and the techniques work right on the spot, then they see birth in a different way. And that is my reason for doing this podcast, so that women can see birth in a different way. I'm going to keep going on for a second, but I am tired of television and the way they portray birth is this out of control, profanity using, crazy devil woman. Birth is so not like that. That is so far from the truth. And a lot of women just get the medications because they don't want to be perceived as a devil woman. I'm just going to review something I said in a prior podcast. Listen, when a woman is not supported, when she's left alone, when the people around her are even feeling fearful, when they won't let her make noise, when they tell her to take off her panties, what kind of experience are you going to have? There are not many times in your life where you go someplace and remove your underwear. And so I am sorry, but I just think that in itself, that's why women just have these experiences, or they just are so fearful. And birth can just be so much. And that's why I do the podcast. I want everyone that's listening to know that birth can be so much, and it's a powerful experience. Some things you will hold on to forever. Your wedding day, right? The birth of your child, you never forget it. And if so many women are pressed and pushed into something they don't want, then that's the memory they're holding on to. Birth gives you an inner strength that you will only get from birth. And if you can tap into it and access it, it will help you to achieve things in your life that you didn't even know you could achieve. I know that for sure. And I just want that for all women. I am a walking commercial about all the possibilities of birth. And not enough women get that message. They just get the scary messages. So that's why I'm doing this podcast. And so I appreciate your emails, but I just want you to know, please don't email me telling me something about being balanced and being fair. And I will not be balanced and I will not be fair, because I'm doing this podcast simply because I teach in a hospital and I have to be balanced and fair in a hospital. And I'm not going to go to the lean right or left, but what I am trying to do is be a balance to all the negativity that women are getting. They are just getting overwhelmed with the scariness of birth. And I hope after you listen to this podcast that you will feel more confident in the process of birth. Speaking of confidence, I have a story to share with you. And this happened in Long Beach, California. It was about a month ago. And this is from the Associated Press. It says, teen gives birth, walks 4 blocks to hospital. A 17-year-old girl gave birth secretly at home, then walked 4 blocks to a hospital with the baby still attached by its umbilical cord. I was just a little nervous when the labor began, Sochi said Friday, as she cradled her 8-pound, 3-ounce son. The boy was normal and eating like a champ, said the doctor in the neonatal intensive care unit. The teenager says she was alone and taking a shower around 5:30 a.m. Wednesday to get ready for school, and then the contractions took over. I felt his head coming, so I sat down and pushed so he could come out, she said. The teen did not call 911 because the home phone was disconnected, and she did not want to wake the neighbors because it was so early. Instead, she wrapped the baby, got dressed, and went to the hospital on foot. I started walking, and jogging to the hospital, she said. The teen came into the hospital lobby and asked for help. She still had the placenta and the baby was still attached. So, of course, everyone said, don't move. The girl was praised for taking quick action. They could have bled to death. Thank God that didn't happen, the doctor said. She was very clever. She knew what to do. She wrapped the baby up and walked over here. That is not even an incredible story. I like the story of this teen girl because as they ended, they said she knew what to do. Teens do this every single day. Check your local news where you are. Check the internet. Teens have these babies all the time, and sometimes they don't know what to do, so maybe they discard the baby, but a lot of times they'll take the baby to a safe place. They give birth alone often, and this teen was in the shower, see? Water was helping her. I bet that water just made her not even know how hard and how strong those contractions were until she pushed, and of course you can't overlook the head coming out. And she delivered the baby herself. I always ask my class, now, how do you think these teens deliver their babies? Do you think they are laying down? No, these teens squat down and deliver their own baby. Sometimes they chew or cut the cord or whatnot. The point is, birth is so instinctual. You don't need a lot of instructions. When you can quiet down and when you can tune into yourself, you will know what to do. That's what I wanted to share today. Let's take a break and then we're going to go ahead and talk to our guest.
So, welcome my guest, Molly Rimmer, birth advocate, writer, blogger, certified childbirth educator, mother, and doula. Did I leave anything out? Oh, La Leche League leader, too.
Yes.
Hi, Molly. How are you
Hello.
Today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Oh, before I forget, you can find Molly's blog, Talk Birth, at talkbirth.wordpress.com. So, Molly, I thought we could begin by talking about your passion for helping women during childbirth.
Well, my passion for helping women began really before I even had children of my own. I started really developing an interest in pregnancy and birth and doing a lot of reading, and I belonged to a news group online where I read and about all the birth-related things. I formed very definite opinions kind of about healthy birth and good mm-hmm. birth options and those kind of things. And then I became pregnant with my own first son, mm-hmm. And he was born in 2003, and that made me feel, that really like kind of gave me my first credential, so to speak. Okay. I didn't feel like I could pursue any work in the field until after I'd had children of my own, and I know that that's not necessarily true. There's plenty of people who do doula work or are midwives or whatever who do not have children, but
right.
I felt like personally I needed to have my own baby first. To cut me off. And so after he was born, then I started to pursue childbirth education as a field. And I also trained as a postpartum doula,
mm-hmm.
Though I did not continue with that. So that's what kind of started me off.
Well, you're pretty busy, so that's good. That's a good start. So you felt like the birth helped you to relate, or what were you feeling?
Well, I guess the feeling, I had such a empowering and triumphant kind of birth experience that I felt like I wanted to share that with other people. That seems to be a common reason that people get involved in the birth field, and so that's what I wanted to do mm-hmm. after he was born. And then I subsequently had my second son in 2006, and that really that relit my fire That's when 2006 is when I started really pursuing like writing and also teaching more classes and that kind of thing. So those were really prompted after my second son's birth, because that was so wonderful too.
Yeah. Oh, I love your words. Wonderful, empowering. And I was reading your blog, and you're talking about you love to help women give birth and confidence.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about the birth and confidence?
I feel like that's one of the most important things I can at least try to do as a birth educator is to help women and their partners develop confidence in themselves and in their body's abilities to give birth and to give birth as a in a confident, strong, joyful way instead of a fearful or emergency mindset kind of way. Mm-hmm. And so that's my passion is to help to base my classes on a sense of confidence and power. And I try to communicate to the people who take my classes that birth is, you know, something that you do. It's an active process. It's something that you're doing, not something that's happening to you. You're not a victim of birth. You're a you're a doer. You're a giver of birth, and that's what I try to inspire.
It seems hard for women to make that connection, though.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I know your mother had all her children at home, so you were born at home.
Yes, I was.
Right. And then your first son was born at a birth center. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And your second one was born at home. So do you think seeing birth in this way from your childhood, like I'm not sure which number you were, did that kind of build your confidence?
First.
You were the first one?
I was the first, so yes, I was there when all the other ones were born. My sister was born when I was two, and so I was there for her birth. That's one of my earliest memories. If I go back in my, you know, childhood memories, what's your first childhood memory? It's of her birth. It's the day she was born, because it was very, you know, big deal. Have a sister. And then the other two siblings were born when I was 9 and 11, and so I definitely remember those more clearly because I was older and was present for those as well. So I think that does have an impact, and one of the things I talk about with people in my classes is that we build our beliefs about birth from childhood, and those are kind of underlying our current, like, pregnancy experiences and plans for birth and expectations about what labor and birth are going to be like. That's been building since childhood for both people, the woman and for the man. And so I encourage people to start, you know, digging in and uncovering those beliefs and looking at them. And so they know they're not surprised when they get to the birth room. Oh, this is what you believe about birth, and this is what I believe about birth. And suddenly they're not compatible, and, you know, that kind of thing. But I do find sometimes I find it difficult to get that message across about the whole can be triumphant, empowering experience, and joyful, and all that kind of stuff. Because sometimes it's just met with, it's going to be excruciating pain, and I feel like I'm not quite getting through. But.
Right. You know, in my own births, I found them to be the most life-changing experience. And, of course, you can't get around the pain.
Right.
But
right.
I agree with you. I think that it's very misrepresented, and women don't know enough about what you can gain from the experience.
Right.
So do you just feel like your mother, did she consciously teach you this, or was it unconscious? She just made those choices, and you absorbed that, you think?
Right.
Or?
Kind of a learn, you know, that whole do as I do and not as I say kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I saw what she, you know, what she did, and that made an impact. Though it was sort of just, you know, kind of put back into my, you know, kind of part of my history. Like, oh, yeah, this is something my mom did.
Okay.
And it wasn't until I became kind of childbearing age and was interested in that I started to look back at her choices with a new new understanding, I guess, and a new appreciation of what she had done. And before, it had just been like, oh, yeah, mom, she just does all these things kind of differently.
Oh, okay.
So.
And it is kind of different, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That home birth is not
right.
widely known. And, of course, recently the ACOG, right, Academy of American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists.
Right.
They have that new statement. They're saying that they don't think it's very safe.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And I like to contrast that with the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've read their statement on home birth.
I haven't. I'll have to go read it.
They have a joint statement issued with the Royal College of Midwives, the Royal College of Midwives and the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, so that's RCOG instead of ACOG.
Okay.
They have a joint statement on home birth that says things in the statement like, birth is an important life experience for women, and they should be able to choose the setting in which to have their babies. And the conclusion of the statement is, births at home, with birth at home, outcomes are likely to be optimal.
Wonderful.
Which I love, and it's such indirect. It's like a 7-page statement, and it's very respectful and very supportive of birth at home. And I think it's just such an interesting contrast with what we have going on here in the United States.
Right, right. Because the United States, home birth is not even at 1%, right, of all.
Right. Yeah, it's really not on the radar screen as far as many people are concerned in terms of it being even on their horizon as a choice. So
yes, but why do you think that is? Because I just found that I couldn't imagine giving birth any place else. It was so wonderful to get in your own bed, and
right,
you never went anywhere. You didn't worry, was your baby you switched, there were no germs.
Right.
Yeah. You could go on and on. You could pee when you want to.
Right.
You don't have to ask permission.
Right. Eat your food. Have your other children there. I have to laugh because my birth pictures for my second son, the pictures of the birth, mm-hmm. There's like Play-Doh sitting on the coffee table, like little Play-Doh animals. So there's me in the background, like leaning on the birth ball, and then there's a row of Play-Doh animals. And I'm like, you wouldn't see Play-Doh animals in the hospital. So,
right. Yeah, what do you think? Why is it, like, what do you think about birth today? What's your perspective?
I think it's all. I think it goes back to the whole confidence and fear thing, and I think that really underlying a lot of what we have going on in the birth culture is fear, and mm-hmm. fear in all kinds of levels. Fear of like on a personal level of like I can't do this, and then fear on a cultural level of like birth is dangerous and people are going to die and that kind of thing. And fear underlies a lot of it, I feel like. Or that, and there's also, there's a concept I really like, and I wrote about this on my blog as well, about the climate of confidence versus the climate of doubt.
Mm.
And I think, in general, the majority of people are kind of operating within this climate of doubt, that birth is an emergency, and that's the media, the popular culture, movies, TV shows, all that kind of stuff seem to come from that climate of doubt, and that seeps into the consciousness of pregnant women or teenage girls, and mm-hmm. it creates that within themselves as well. So that's where I think it comes from. But
yeah, but you weren't afraid, and your birth went fine.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, and I
guess
so you don't have anything negative, or not negative, but you just, your experience, you would do it again.
Oh, absolutely. And that's my feeling is that, you know, one of the greatest, like, kind of personal triumphs of my life. And also that sense of almost like it's a physical achievement, like climbing the summit, you know, or running the marathon. There's a very kind of physical sense of achievement. And I know people say sometimes that, oh, well, you know, it's just having a baby. It's just a physiological function. You know, anybody could do it. Why be proud of it? Well, I am proud of it. So, mm-hmm. oh, well. I do feel proud of it. Not that I don't know.
No, I know what you're saying. It's something that I don't want to be too strong, but I do feel that sometimes women are cheated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because until you go through it and then you know that you can,
mm-hmm.
right, and then you have that forever. And I found that it's the strength I needed to mother.
Right.
You know, some days you have to go back to their births.
It's true. When you read, I read a lot. I'm a very avid reader. And when you read, like, a book that I read when I was early postpartum with my first baby was Misconceptions by Naomi Wolf.
Yeah.
And when she describes her birth and what was happening to her in that book, her overall sense is just she's wounded, she's victimized, she's abused, she's traumatized, really, by what happens to her. Mm-hmm. And that's such a direct, like, it's such a complete opposite experience from what my sense. Like, instead, she was diminished and wounded and just, like, beaten down.
Right.
And my experience is completely the opposite. I was elevated. I was, you know, mm-hmm. expansive and on top of the world after having my babies. And I think that all women deserve that wherever they're having the baby. I mean, it doesn't have to be only at home that you deserve that.
You certainly can be in a birthing center.
Oh, absolutely. In a hospital. You can have
in a hospital.
it's possible to have that. So that's
oh, it is possible, and I really have so enjoyed talking with you, because I think that's the message I try to give with my podcast, is that perspective where we're saying birth is something you're made of, you're made to do, you're capable, and not reinforcing the fear when I teach my terror classes, because, right, so many times women come there and they are scared, and you can see it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and their coworkers and their friends and their mothers are just, you know, scaring them with these horror stories.
Right.
And have you found this? I feel like sometimes I am the first person to tell them it's not so scary.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Right.
And that you can get so many benefits. I love to give the benefits of labor pain.
Right. And you can have, you really can have a tremendous elation and joy from birth that is not something that you hear about routinely, or and that sense of fear and pain and panic and being a victim doesn't have to. And that, I guess that's what I was trying to say, is I think women need to, like, expect and demand that,
yeah,
instead of going in, expect and demand the good positive experience as having value,
right,
and having worth, and that they deserve it. It's not something that they don't have to sacrifice themselves, kind of like, oh, well, I'll sacrifice myself for, because it's for the good of the baby. The good of the mother and the good of the baby are hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
mm-hmm,
it's
so
okay
what
to expect a lot.
Right. What do you have ways you think that we can empower women as, you know, as professionals, or just even mother to mother? How can we help women to access what we've been kind of discussing, that confidence?
Wow. I think that sharing our stories has value,
mm-hmm,
and then also, I do think that as I mentioned, like uncovering what beliefs might be guiding you, like,
yeah,
unconscious perceptions. I have a little questionnaire I give people in the class that's like, beliefs about birth, like how painful do you think birth is, and how, you know, and which of these statements do you agree with? Like, I am totally confident in my body's ability to give birth, or I'm fearful, and, you know, it has these things on it, so that we can start talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps, like, bringing those things out and talking about it helps develop that confidence. And then also just building the, I try to be very heavy on the actual, like, physical skills or physical, like, coping skills, and
mm-hmm,
as we mentioned before the interview began, about incorporating some yoga poses in,
mm-hmm,
and I feel like yoga, you know, birth happens in our bodies, not in our minds, and so that,
mm-hmm,
bringing yoga into class brings people into their bodies and out of their minds, and helps ready them and feel confident. So I think using their bodies in class helps them develop that sense of, like, hey, I can do this. This is, you know, there's things that I can do. So instead of just waiting for something to happen to them, they feel like they have skills to meet it with,
mm-hmm,
or something. So I do try to do lots of physical skill building in classes, and I think that really seems to help. At least it helps them. I don't know if it necessarily actually helps them as they're giving birth, but it helps,
right,
them go into birth with a sense of, like, hey, there's tools that I can use. There's things that I can try. There's ways that I can move. There's things that I can,
right,
do. So.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. As a childbirth educator, I find that that's the most powerful thing, and I spend, like, 80% of my class doing the same thing.
Right.
'Cause isn't it astounding how many women actually are not connected to their body, period?
Absolutely. Right.
Like, when you have you ever, I ask this commonly, okay, if you're 36 weeks, do you know what position your baby is in?
Right.
They have no, they say, how would I know that?
Right.
And I, you know, so then just me asking, has their baby ever had the hiccups, and where was the center of the hiccups? And they,
right,
point, you know, very low down. And I ask, well, what body part do you think is there? And then they go, maybe the head. And they make that connection.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Their eyes get wide, and that is a most empowering moment, a very,
right,
empowering,
right,
moment.
Right.
Yeah, and yeah, so I love it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so yoga, you use that to help empower the mothers.
Right. I really just use it as kind of a transition from head space to body space,
mm,
kind of a little bridge there,
mm-hmm,
and to try to get people used to and comfortable with moving their bodies instead of just sitting in a chair and thinking about things, which is often how many of us spend a lot of our days, is in a seated position and like kind of up and basically from the neck up.
Right.
So.
Right, and birth isn't that way at all.
No, not at all. So,
isn't it crazy? I don't know if you remember part of your birth, but I just felt like just somebody else took over. And
yes, yeah. And that's part of, I talk sometimes about the whole losing control, you know, fear of losing control. What if I lose it? What if I, you know, what if I lose control during labor? And sometimes I say that, you know, that's part of the fun.
Delight to have you on our podcast today, which is Birth Talk. And remember, you can find Molly's blog, Talk Birth, at talkbirth.wordpress.com.
Well, thank you so much.
Quick break, and we'll be right back with a few last words to end our show. Back. I'd just like to add on to the conversation I had with Molly by saying that prenatal yoga, again, is a wonderful thing to do. I am teaching prenatal yoga now, and I love it, even though I'm not pregnant, but it's very empowering, and it really helps you let go of a lot of anxiety and stress. So if you have not found a prenatal yoga class to take, I encourage you to, or get a prenatal yoga DVD. And I have recorded some prenatal yoga meditations that could help you. And there's just a few positions, like sitting in easy pull, that I will guide you through. So you can find it on iTunes. You search the podcast on iTunes for Birth Talk, and then you will find prenatal yoga pregnancy meditations, and they're free. So I hope that you download them and that they will be of use to you. Well, I have enjoyed, again, doing the podcast, talking with you, and I'm wishing you all successful births. And just, you know, please email me your questions. And remember that women have been giving birth for a mighty long time. And keep that in the back of your minds. Keep it really in the center, in the front of your minds. And I just want to leave you with, again, just putting all the puzzle pieces together, connecting not only your thoughts, but connecting them with your body. All the best until we meet again on the next Birth Talk. The views expressed are not intended as medical advice. Please consult your midwife or physician. Call us 916-525-7596. Email us birthtalk@gmail.com.